Hello, we are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois Radio, where we discuss your hearts and parts.
Yes, yes, that's precisely what we do. And on this very special episode of Ménage à Trois Radio, we are going to be talking to Stoya.
Well, we're not talking to Stoya. This is a very special Lost Files episode.
Lost Files.
We recorded this episode late 2013 with Stoya, world-renowned porn actress.
And writer.
And writer. And we are just now getting our shit together, doing some Ménage à Trois commentary and sharing this lost file with our listeners.
Yeah, the recording of this episode was pretty fast and loose. We were on the road, not in the comforts of our own studio, and we were without our producer at the time, so we just kind of had to wing this and got what we could.
Babes in the woods. We had to get Stoya while we could.
Of course. We had to sit down with Stoya. So we're going to listen to that episode.
Without further ado, here we go. You know this sexy lady. She's an international porn superstar.
That's right. She's also a writer. You've read her column in Vice and her essays on Esquire and The Guardian. Let's welcome to our love nest, Miss Stoya.
Oh, let's not talk about Esquire.
To hell with Esquire.
I put, just for comparison purposes, what I sent to them and then the link to what they put up on my Tumblr. It's truly incredible.
Did they butcher your work?
Oh, yeah.
Yikes. Come on, Esquire.
Oh, that is.
Get your shit together.
That's poor. So we like to wine and dine. We fancy ourselves a very classy podcast. And so we asked what your favorite beverage was, and we just had some water in the studio today, which is very wet, refreshing, great beverage.
We are currently drinking water in studio.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not par for the course for us.
No, this one's for Stoya.
I was so taken aback by not having booze in the studio that I just felt the need to explain water to people. I said it's wet.
I like that you said it's the wettest.
Yeah, yeah.
Sexy.
Yeah, no booze, so right out of the gates.
I'm pouring out a little water on our studio floor for Stoya. Sorry, Ben.
It's okay.
So, Stoya, we always ask all our guests, how does your profession affect your romantic life?
You very quickly find out who has very strict and narrow views of sex and relationships and who does not. Like, it's like that's a first date topic. And then,
which I think is good to know. I like
weed
to get
out
that
the,
out of the way. Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah. That's,
I feel like the way that it forces the conversations about, like, oh, we're dating. Well, what does dating mean to where, you know, you might not ask, like your high school sweetheart what dating means to you, because it's just assumed.
Right. That's healthy. Interesting. It seems like more dynamic to...
Yeah, get into that sixth, seventh date where it's just still slowly coming out. I like to just get it out there early and often.
I agree with that. Cut to the chase.
Let's chat a little bit about sexy science.
What we do here is we take sexual articles of health, hearts and parts, and we rip them from the headlines.
That's right, from the headlines. This one's ripped from HuffPo.
HuffPo World. This article is about a 66-year-old Hong Kong man who discovers he's a woman after he goes to the doctor.
Turner syndrome, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a combination of Turner syndrome and congenital adrenal hyperplasia.
Hyper what?
You really tackled that tongue twister. I remember this man now, this woman, this man. I don't remember what the verdict was, though, so.
Well, wait and see.
So he was 66. 66 years of his life, he thought he was a man. Then he found out he was a woman.
I mean, that's shocking news, I would say, at 66. Now, don't they usually detect this earlier?
I think they would have, except for he was an orphan. So he kind of had, you know, like a life on his own. So he wasn't, you know, in and out with the best doctors. But it's crazy because then they ask him, well, how do you want to proceed? You know, you're 66 years into your life. And he decided to stay a man but do hormone treatment.
I'm trying to think of, yeah. I mean, I guess you'd, I don't know. If you were, I think maybe if you're just living that long,
Well, he had a beard and a micro penis, but he also had ovaries and no testicles.
There's so many.
I was going to ask about the penis. Yeah. Like,
well, because that would be ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, you would think. But right. Micro. So it was.
I really struggled to have an opinion on this coming out of the gates. And I think I was saved by your beard and a micro penis, which is just a hilarious thing to hear out loud. I really struggled. I remember now grappling with this when we discussed it. As if I had never heard it before, that I had no time to even think to formulate an opinion.
Well, in reality, we do a lot of prep for our episodes.
Yeah, this wasn't sprung on me last minute either.
Well, I love that Stoya is like, I wanted to know about the dick, because of course that's like what you're sure. curious about is like the ambiguous genitalia in this kind of situation.
Yeah, because there's a lot of different kinds of ambiguous genitalia.
Well, that's why it was this crazy. These two diseases combined made it so that he like was only 4.5 feet tall. He just kind of like had a lot of physical maladies where it would have made maybe diagnosing a gender misidentification more difficult because he was had all these other things going on. I don't know. I just think that'd be crazy to identify as one thing for 2/3 of your life.
What would you do if you found out you were a man?
I can't get on board with that thought experiment today.
It's a wild one.
It's too big.
Stoya, not playing ball on that one.
Absolutely not. I said enough of these softball questions. I'm just going to really.
Stoya, what would you do if you had a dick?
Yeah, basically, what would you do if you. I mean, it's not an easy question to really answer. I think it takes some thought. And she was very thoughtful throughout this entire episode.
Well, I think she speaks to it a little bit now.
All right.
Well, we're pretty sure I'm not a man.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I've spent some quality time with my genitals, and I feel like
that's true.
All the people who have seen them on the internet, if anything was strange, someone would have pointed it out.
Oh, you'd get a tweet or two.
Yeah. That's
people
love
around.
To point things out on the internet.
Like, Stoya, I couldn't help but notice in your last film you had a dick.
Yes, it was. It wasn't visible at first, but upon further inspection, you had a dick.
On that DP shot, tweet tweet.
Yeah, that's some people's life's work is just sitting on the internet and pointing things out.
Well, this poor orphan.
Well, he probably
didn't
masturbate.
That.
I imagine. Ben, right? Didn't really explore, or just didn't know what the damn difference was.
Yeah, he may not have had the same like hormonal triggers and urges because his chromosomes were messed up. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
chroma what?
I don't know.
I think unfortunately I would stay a man maybe because it's just which this is why it is unfortunate that it's just I think your benefits at that point of being a man of living your life. Yeah, I don't know. It's rougher for a lady, I guess. So that would be a hard thing.
In my defense, I want to say that I think I was suffering from some brain trauma when this episode was recorded.
What
I sound
happened?
Very sluggish. No, I don't know. I don't really have a full memory of it, but
was like this after that?
It was a head injury.
After that fall you took down those stairs.
It was a fall down those stairs. And I'm struggling to formulate sentences at this point.
Well, God bless you.
I just kind of feel like there's no difference except for your identity, which is obviously a huge thing, but like physically, if you've been living one way, you just are what you are.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I hope he finds love after all these years.
Well, maybe now he can go online and at least explain his body and find someone who's looking for that.
There's someone on
somebody for everybody.
For
mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lid for every pot, as Bridget Everett would say.
That's absolutely true. Wise words from Bridget Everett. And a nice plug for eHarmony.
Well, people want help from us. They stop us on the street. They email us. As you can tell, we're really good at helping people. And they tweet at us.
Listen, a mailbag.
Our first question comes to us from Meredith in Honolulu, Hawaii, via our email, which is menageatois.radio@gmail.com. Meredith asks, I recently finished chemo and my cancer is in remission. Ever since I got better, I've had a much more voracious sexual appetite than I did before I got sick. My husband is treating me like I'm crazy and too fragile when I try to spice things up in our bedroom. How do I get him to spank me?
Hmm.
Oh, Meredith.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's actually great that you're feeling better and ready to party. I don't know. I don't know how I would feel about this.
Great that you're feeling better and ready to party.
Yeah, I really tried to speak to the yeah, that was something.
Are you
also the elevator arrived? Someone stepped off and just sat down in studio with us, I think, if I remember correctly, and then said nothing.
No, dear, that was one of your brain trauma hallucinations.
Oh boy,
I'm also really tempted during this commentary to like. I said, why won't he spank me? And I wanted to be like, eh. Like, yeah, just to add terrible sound effects.
Well, let's try it.
I guess it's always just up to, you know, you just push the limit slowly, I guess, to start out. And just
well, I understand if he's worried that she's fragile because she was sick, but right. I don't, but if he's not willing to go there with her and that's what she wants, that's a conversation that obviously needs to be had.
Hmm. I am. This is a. Occasionally, it happens when you're just talking straight for, you know, 45 minutes and sitting down. Sometimes you just start to talk before you know what the hell you're going to say, and you spew nonsense. And after 30 seconds of rambling, you've said very little. I am like 4 for 4 in this episode for that.
I think you're doing great.
Oh, thanks.
I do wonder how much he might be using possible fragility as an excuse to not think about like, oh, how do I feel about this?
Making a change in their sexual relationship that far into their.
But if it really is that he's just concerned about her well-being, that's where active consent comes in.
Right.
So awesome. It's like, spank me. And they give you a little tap. It's like, oh yes, that's awesome. I love that. Do it more, do it harder.
It's like positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
I think that's actually great advice.
Yeah, that's a great way to start this
off. Ease him in.
Ease it in. Theodore in Baltimore, Maryland, got on our Facebook page and asked us, I think I am in love with my neighbor. She's mysterious and beautiful. I've gone so far as to look through her trash to find out more about her.
What?
Even her fucking garbage is angelic. I am desperate to talk to her, but can she ever live up to my perfect fantasy of her? Well, Theodore.
Theodore, you are a creep.
Yes. Theodore, you're full on creep.
You should move away from that poor woman.
Yeah. You actually know way too much about her. I think you need to put down the garbage and move.
Never look through anyone's garbage ever again.
No. That's a crime, yeah? Should be. I don't know if it is or not.
Could have used LegalZoom, I think, a quick reference. Not sure if it's a crime, but floated it out there.
I want a button we press where it's like, illegal.
That's a crime, yeah? That's what you say on the stand when you take the stand in your own defense. This was a crime, yeah?
Definitely creepy.
I think
Baltimore,
once you throw
it
out,
it's, kind of
it's fair
summer.
Game. Yeah. Well, the other thing is, I think the first thing we have to address is that he's a huge creep. But the other thing is, no one will ever live up to your weird, like, if you don't know anything about them, what are you even projecting?
Yeah, what are your fantasies? Yeah, at that point. Through the trash? I mean, you know what cable package they have? I mean, what the hell kind of fantasy is that?
Triple play.
Yeah.
Well, they've got the HBO Go password on there. That's pretty sexy. Yeah, I don't know.
Eats Doritos.
Yeah, trash, I guess.
Trash is cable bills and chips, right?
That's it. It's just chips and cable bills and trash.
Sometimes soda cans.
Soda cans.
If you don't recycle.
Drinks they Yeah, your expert. That's your fantasy was crushed. yeah, not as socially conscious. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, stop looking through the trash.
Yeah, stop.
I guess,
I think
advice,
Theodore,
right?
Just look inward at yourself.
Yes.
All right.
Creep.
We're helping all those creeps out there. Our last and final question comes to us from @WigglingWonder via our Twitter, which is @MenageRadio. Wiggling Wonder says, I jerked off at Starbucks the other day. Am I the worst? # made my own foam.
Did you jerk off into your own coffee? In, say, the bathroom, and the follow-up question would be, was there a giant line for the bathroom?
Because there usually is at Starbucks.
And then if you were holding up that line because you were jerking off into your coffee, you're kind of a jerk. But only kind of. Not as bad as Theodore.
No, yeah, you will never, right. as long as you didn't jerk off to someone's trash. Yeah, I mean, if you're drinking your own semen, and that, you know, no one gets harmed in that. Because # made my own foam, that better be trending at some point.
I think that Stoya is absolutely right, though, that the bad part isn't jerking off in public or drinking your cum. It's holding up the bathroom line at Starbucks.
Yeah.
That's like the worst.
That's always a hot spot bathroom because everybody knows it's going to be free. And they're decently maintained, most of them. So I feel like as far as public restrooms go, that's definitely a spot everybody tries to
jerk off in. No, Starbucks bathrooms need to be like for emergencies, not for leisure.
Yeah.
Usually masturbation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I also wonder when you get to that point, once you start jazzing off on the road consistently, I think it's hard to do that. It may be harder to, because you're upping the ante every time you're getting off. So if that's something that really gets you going, is that just like a once a week thing? Because if you're drinking coffee every day, how do you decide when you foam, you self foam, and when you don't?
When do you put in an application at Starbucks and start spreading your foam around town?
Oh, that's not okay at all.
No.
Yeah.
That's where menage a trois draws the concern. Line.
So yeah, I guess what is the question was, am I the worst? No. Theodore is the worst. We've established that.
Meredith is the best. Theodore is the worst.
So yeah, just hustle while you're in there. Don't let people wait in line. As long as you can jerk off as quickly as someone can take a piss, then you're okay.
Oh, that's really well said.
Yeah.
Can anyone jerk off as quickly as they can take a piss?
I have before when I'm going on the extreme end of both scales. So a long beer piss, you know, the first thing in the morning after a night of heavy drinking can go 2.5 minutes.
No, it goes like 50 seconds.
It feels like an hour is the thing.
Interesting.
But I think I've definitely jerked off under 30 seconds before.
Great.
So there's that.
Well, I think we helped some people there.
I feel like we did.
Yeah, we did. And now we have a few more questions. We'd like to ask our guest Stoya some questions.
Oh, boy.
This segment is called Six Sections, which is it's just six rapid-fire sex questions. So you just answer these as quickly as you can. Okay.
Before we start doing rapid fire,
yes.
Can I mention that I got off a plane from LA yesterday morning? And
yeah, this is just first thing that comes to your head. And
my gears are full of
after
tar.
Traveling across country. Yeah, yeah. We'll preface it with that.
There are no wrong answers. All right. Number one, Stoya, would you rather have 10,000 sexual partners or one life partner?
10,000 sexual partners.
What's the sexiest animal?
So this friend of mine asked me the other day whether I would prefer to have sex with like an Egyptian god style person with the human body and the animal head, mm-hmm. or vice versa. And we also have this cat who's like 4 months old now and his balls dropped. And then we like kind of didn't pay attention. And then he was like sitting there all the time, licking his balls with his legs spread, and his like little kitty penis had like a little kitty boner, and it's just like the most horrifying ball of like I just can't think about sexy animals.
That's fair.
Wait, I'm interested in that though. Would you prefer human head animal body or human body animal head?
I think I'd prefer human body animal head.
Yeah,
Rob,
I think
Malone's
so too.
Mulling it over right now. What do you think?
Human body animal head. That's right. Rob Malone helped us record this episode.
Yes. Our friend Rob was kind enough to come in and try to do the best he could. We didn't give him equipment that was worth a damn, and we didn't really have...
We just need a warm body.
Yeah, we had no prep at all, but our tech-tarded brains just couldn't really figure it out. So we're just like, let's just make a move, because we had Stoya scheduled and we had to do it, so...
Haas.
Rob Malone did the best.
You had to come in and clean up a lot of this episode, huh?
I sure did.
Thank you for adding Fantasia there while we're talking about animal bodies.
That was a nice touch.
Yeah, I think it really adds to the conversation.
Haas brought his Haas wand in, which is his magic touch on all of these episodes to make them what they are.
That's going to be trending.
# Haas wand.
Like the animal body idea is like instantly revolting.
It is.
Right.
But then the animal head, it's like, well, I've definitely had sex with people where it was very clearly like, we do not mesh on any intellectual level. We do not really enjoy each other's company.
Right.
We just like the pheromones match up. So let's bang and not talk at all.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the equivalent of that, because you can always, I've always preferred someone, if it was just a casual sex encounter, someone who might not be the most attractive in the face that I found, but the body was great. I mean, that's the old, this is like the heightened version of Butterface.
For a one-off,
right?
Yeah.
Just an animal head on a sexy human.
See,
torso.
Part of me, though, is like, it wants to go the other way.
Really?
Yeah, like, if I were like in a crazy alter world, like kind of like a Fantasia situation. They were like running around a field. Like there's something sexy about like the...
Like a centaur.
Like exactly. I think that's exactly what I'm thinking of. Like some kind of like beast body taking you in the afternoon. I don't know.
Beast body.
Don't quote me on this. I'll just record it.
No, Rob Malone's got something.
I got one big concern, though. I feel like if it's with an animal head, like if it's a really cute dog or something, like there's a connection that could be built there. Mm. And that might, like, I mean, this is totally hypothetical, but I feel like the connection with an animal head and a human body could be more intense, especially if you're an animal lover.
Puppy fucker, Rob Malone.
Very insightful.
God forbid you connect during sex.
Well,
yeah, that's actually the best question.
That was the
ever.
Best six section answer we've ever received.
Rapid fire.
Let's scoot on to the next rapid fire. Who's your number one celebrity crush?
Scarlett Johansson has really nice boobs. Like true. Fascinatingly nice boobs.
She true. Does. All right. Number four, what's the best song to have sex to?
I don't know.
Hot tub, backseat, or bed?
Bed.
And lastly, Stoya, what's the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
That is such a hard thing for me to answer because it's one person, it's their eyes, and another person, it's the way that they smell, or it's
right.
their personality, or something tiny little mannerism, or just, there's such a range.
Someone else, it's an animal head.
Possibly.
Possible animal head.
If I ever encounter that. We're going to have to come back and like re-examine.
Revisit.
Yeah.
Yes.
This has been Six Sections Six. With Stoya.
Ah, that was tremendous.
I don't know the best song to have sex to either.
The best song to have sex
Depends
to.
Depends what kind of sex you want to have, right?
Yeah. I always say Funky Town, Lips Incorporated.
You always say it.
I'm always saying that. I don't know why.
This may be one of the places where the fact that I have sex on camera professionally is showing. But I think the best sound to have sex to is the sound of no one making noise on the ground with their shoes or letting their cell phone go off while we're rolling sound.
That's a good sound.
That's the best
sound. Sex, that's exceptional.
People not being
people
dick
not disturbing,
wads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do not disturb.
So let's talk. We love power couples. We're big fans of power couples. So let's discuss in our PC Spotlight, which is our power couple of the week.
You know her, exotic Egyptian queen and notorious tomb dweller.
You know him, powerful Roman general with hoes and vast area codes. We're talking Cleopatra.
And Mark Antony. Whoop whoop.
Historical power couple. Now,
emphasis on power here.
Yeah, a lot of power involved.
So
nations were... at stake during this
big old chunks of the world
encounter. I don't know Mark Antony well.
Mark Antony, on the other hand, I know very well, but Antony and I surprisingly had never met.
Yeah, it is interesting. There's no, what is it, phone booth taking you around?
Mm-hmm.
He was buddies.
Don't know him personally.
Well, he was buddies with Julius Caesar, who, Cleopatra was bawling before he was killed, and then they hooked up. I mean, there was just a lot of shenanigans going on.
Yeah. I do know what I know of Cleopatra. I feel like she is a sex goddess. I don't know how she actually fared in the bedroom, but I don't know. I think of her as a very sexy lady.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a huge turn on, too, that after her dad died, she was ruling over Egypt.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
well,
she probably seemed very powerful.
Yeah.
Sexy.
When they have that kind of power... What kind of sex do you think you need to have to be interesting? Because we see a lot of times with people who wield a lot of political power that they end up doing all sorts of funky things in the bedroom to try to match. Like, I feel like if you're making big decisions that are influencing millions of people and you have this power, you might want to be dominated in some way in the bedroom, or you might want to just to find that same kind of high.
I think that's sort of a like almost like a skewed sample base where powerful people, when they get involved in sexual shenanigans that then leak to the public, we all care.
That's
right.
True. That's true.
The guy that serves you coffee every morning
and jerking off.
Hopefully he's not jerking off.
Making foam.
Callback. That guy, like maybe his roommate catches him in some strange sexual scenario and it does not make
no
the
one
paper
cares. Yeah.
And
Yeah, that's true. You only hear about, so I think, yeah, we're probably warped a little bit on that, but to think that they're
pressure.
Different from anyone else.
Probably yeah, pressure it's pressure to have more interesting sex. Like, if something's going to leak, you don't want it to be like, laid there.
Yeah, just dead
little,
fish.
Go to sleep, you know?
No, you want to be swinging from the rafters, I feel.
Right.
Yeah.
They also have the benefit of being historical, so people are going to, like, project all this amazing, you know. We're picturing, like, them wrapped up in a cobra, fucking in a tomb. You know, that's what I'm picturing.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
what,
gold powder and eyeliner on everybody,
sure.
You know, but cool. Who knows how it really went down.
Yeah, this was also, I believe, I'd have to check the dates, but I think this is before the 80s, you know, and the HIV scares. So they're probably having, you know, just... Fearless sex.
Fearless.
I'm not worried about any sorts of...
I did actually check those dates after the episode, and it was not pre-AIDS, so...
Oh, Cleopatra and Mark Antony?
Yeah. I did check the dates on
that. Oh, so
them.
This is an addendum.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of snakes, Cleopatra did kill herself by...
Self-inflicted cobra wound.
Yes.
Was it cobra? I thought it was an adder.
Oh, really?
Mm. Or an asp.
It said cobra last night on the thing
asp.
I looked. An asp.
Or,
that's
maybe
the most poisonous snake in Africa.
Is it?
All right. The jury's in. Sound man Rob Malone says asp.
Asp it.
Fucking Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm. I thought you said
it's
on the thing.
Embarrassing me.
You're like, that's what it said on the thing last night.
I think I did. I was like somebody's mom. I was like, well, I could have sworn it was a cobra on the thing last night.
So that's a hell of a way to go.
Not quite as cool as cobra, but whatevs.
Asp bite is not as cool as a cobra bite.
Do we know how Mark Antony did it? I have no idea.
I don't either.
Something boring.
Yeah.
Threw himself in the Nile.
Yeah. Just walked into the river and passed away. Well, we salute you, Cleopatra and Mark Antony.
Our power couple of the week. Do-do-do. Now we're going to flip on over. Re-de-dee. Now we're going to move things over to virtual sugar.
What we do here is, are you familiar with the dating site OkCupid?
Yes.
Well, we've pulled a real OkCupid profile. All right, now just pretend, I don't know if you are or are not single, but let's just say for the sake of this that you are. So we've pulled a real OkCupid profile, and we want to take you on an improvised date with this profile. So,
you play, yourself. And okay. Murph will be playing Coney Island Ian.
This is this gentleman's moniker on OkCupid.
And he's taking you to a beginner's yoga class.
Is it with an I or an E?
I.
Okay.
Ian.
And I can play any extra characters.
Diana will jump in there as needed.
Are you ready?
Okay. Date begins now. Hey, good afternoon, Stoya.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I feel a little, I'm on a cleanse, so I'm moving a lot, you know, so I may have to run to the bathroom or something at some point. I just like to get that out there because I don't want it to be awkward and see you watch me sweat and all that, you know. It's day two, so it's a little early in this cleanse for me.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Couples Yoga. Feel free to grab some mats over there, and I'll be right over to stretch you out.
Sure. Thank you. I immediately regret telling you this, by the way. I see that you're not. It was too much information in like, the first 15 seconds.
It's okay. You are who you are.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hi, sir, this is awkward, but I can see there's a little liquid poop seeping through on your spandex.
Why
we can't
would you
really
call
have
liquid
you.
Liquid poop? That sounds terrible.
Well, it's brown and it's in
discharge.
The back, and we share these mats, so.
Stoya, I'm sorry about this. I feel really embarrassed.
Here's some wet wipes. Can you clean yourself up?
Yeah, I have a bag. I have a few different changes of clothes. This was to be expected with this cleanse.
Maybe your wife has some wipes.
Wife?
I'm not his wife.
Oh.
This is our first date.
Oh.
You're really screwing it. You're screwing it for us.
I'm sorry. You just shat yourself on a first date. This is crazy.
I would beg to differ with her screwing. I don't think she's screwing it.
It's not on her.
No.
No.
Well, thank you for saying that, because I try really hard to create a lovely yoga environment here for sweet couples to enjoy and relax.
Can we at least get into some beginner poses while I clean myself?
All right.
Sure.
The session's on me. I'll be a gentleman as I clean my drawers, and I will pay for the entire session. So.
All right. Everyone, let's get into child's pose. Just relax. Knees firmly against the mat. Arms out in front.
I'm quietly sneaking out the back door. That's what I'm doing right now.
I am loudly shitting my pants.
That your lovely non-wife just ran out of the yoga studio, Sarah.
I'm smoking cigarettes as I walk down the sidewalk.
You can't
briskly.
Smoke in here.
But I'm outside.
Oh, she's outside.
She's long gone. Close the windows, please. I don't want to hear about this failed date any longer.
Sir, I'm going to have to add $300 onto your yoga fee for cleaning these floors.
Sure. Can I use this mat? Throw the mat into it. I'll just wipe myself with this.
All right. Sorry, everyone. See you tomorrow.
Oh, my. That date's over and done with. That one crashed and burned. I started off on a terrible foot.
In Murph's defense, I think we had done a cleanse recently, right? Didn't we do something right before Thanksgiving when we recorded this?
Yes, yes. I think so. In my defense, I was actually just shitting my pants, so I tried to make the best of it.
No, darling. No,
yeah, we were cleansing it out. So that's, I think it was on my mind, and then I just really started slinging poop around.
I like that you said, what did you say about your foot? I was didn't have a foot to stand on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was a lot of nonsense flying out of my mouth and ass during that.
Have you ever walked out on a date that early in real life?
I try to avoid formalized dates at the beginning of the seeing people process.
Yep.
And it's usually like it's a more organic, like, oh, we know each other through a friend of a friend, and we seem to, I don't find you offensive as a person. And
that. Yeah, I think that's way better. I think the whole, like, there's too much pressure on a really formal situation. And you can get stuck with someone really weird all night.
And then what do you do except run screaming stealth mode, which... Yep.
Running and chain smoking down the road.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's forced and awkward. I think 9 out of 10 times it ends up. Yeah, the loose date's good.
There's a reason people like marry their mailman or somebody they work with. It's like you got to know them on a situation that wasn't like, do you like tacos? You know.
And you're a huge proponent of the U.S. mail. Usually, when you end up marrying a postman.
We are sponsored by the USPS.
USPS. Stop emailing. Radio. Well, this is sad.
I feel sad.
I all of a sudden got a sad feeling in my gut, and then I
don't shit your pants.
We have to say goodbye to Stoya. This is the part of the program where we send you off to chain smoke down the street.
We'd love to have you back once we figure out the animal head human body situation.
Yeah, and we will. We will get to the bottom of that.
we're going to do some research.
Where can people learn more about Stoya and follow her?
They can go to Stoya.
No.
Not the website.
I guess we tried to give a website that was no longer
No longer active. Yeah. I mean, you know, we do our research to the best of our abilities.
And
we're flying around all week.
On an iPhone in 5 minutes.
Those are our capabilities.
How about
Twitter?
The Tumblr and the Twitter are great.
Perfect.
All right. If you want to find out more about Stoya, check her out on stoya.tumblr.com.
Also follow her on Twitter @Stoya and follow us on Twitter @MenageRadio.
Also, you have a column in Vice?
I was writing for them pretty regularly, and now I'm kind of not as regularly.
But people can find all of those essays online, right?
Yes.
Excellent. I read some and they were great.
Nice. And if you follow me on Twitter, then when I write stuff, I tweet about it wherever it is.
Ooh.
So you can just follow her on Twitter and you can find all of her writings all over line. We really want to thank the beefy Mr. Rob Malone, who helped us out with this setup today.
And fact checking.
He fact checked
the asp.
It. He was both titillated and aroused at different combinations of animal heads and bodies.
If you guys have any questions about heads or bodies, email us at menageatois.radio@gmail.com and check us out online at menageatoisradio.com.
That's an example of a good segue.
It's another way of saying hearts and parts.
Mm, that's right, that's right.
Thanks again, Stoya.
Thank you, Stoya.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Wow. What'd you think?
The very first Lost File. I felt it was a fun episode. Stoya was a fucking pleasure to have in the studio, insightful and great. So I'm glad we ended up releasing that episode in
Me
some
too.
Form.
Thanks, Haas.
Haas,
you need your help on
without
that.
Without your magic.
Yeah, I mean, I love putting in fart noises anytime I can, so.
Don't ruin the magic.
Yeah,
no,
people might have thought
those were real farts, y'all.
Yeah, those were definitely real farts. No wizardry from Haas on the flatulence. I'm glad we did release it. I hope we don't ever have another lost file. I hope we find all of our files from here on. And I think with Haas at the wheel, we will.
Yeah.
But it's still fun to listen to yourself talk and then talk over yourself talking.
We've all heard of the X-Files, but these are the sex files.
Gah! Oh, boy.
Wait, is it over? Was that it?
Can I do a commentary on that outro?
Yeah, let's do a real quick recap of the outro.
So I'm sorry I revealed that the farts were... That was my fault.
That was, you know, I was all right with it. A little peek behind the curtain every now and again never hurt anyone.
The magic of the movies. Not the movies, I guess.
No. I think now I'm saying I'm going to call myself out on the on saying I hope we don't lose any more files. Secretly, I think I kind of do hope we maybe do so we could do this again.
Quick question, Haas. You have a date this Wednesday.
That's right.
Are you going to do some couples yoga?
I'm going to just take her to a bar.
Perfect.
Yeah, not couples yoga.
No, that's too much.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Oh, we are children at heart here at Menage a Trois.
Thank you.
Good night.
Goodbye.